That's in faith, and we'll see how far this one goes, and if we have time, we'll try to do the next one, but we'll see. We believe that repentance and faith are solemn obligations, and also inseparable, and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convicted of our guilt, danger, helplessness, and way of salvation through Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition and acknowledgement of sin, at the same time receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our only and all-sufficient Savior and submitting to Him as our Lord. Last week we looked at the condition of the heathen and the new birth. More on the new birth. We've seen in this studying our Declaration of Faith plenty of scripture, plenty of scriptural evidence that our salvation and all the aspects of our salvation have nothing to do with us. That we do not have a say in it, if you will. Only after the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us, and only after salvation takes place are we ready for repentance. Are we ready to repent? And it's through faith in Christ that we do that. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is also what's called a general call out there that people talk about, that there is a general call that goes out to all men. And the requirement is that men repent and follow the Lord. We know through the scripture that that's impossible. Men cannot on their own repent because they are dead souls. It goes back to the new birth that we looked at last week. Man is so steeped in sin that he does not have a desire at all for the things of God. We do see people, I've mentioned before, we see people who desire to do good things, but it's not for godly reasons. It's generally for themselves. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20 for Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Jews, remember, believed that they were the only ones who would receive salvation from the Lord. They believed that the Messiah was only coming for them. But even in the Old Testament, God told that there were going to be others outside of Judaism, outside of Israel, who would be saved. And we even see stories in the Old Testament. The greatest, I believe, probably the greatest number that I can think of souls that would have been saved in the Old Testament that were not Jews or not of Israel was the city of Nineveh in Jonah's day. God tells us that the whole city repented of their sin. But the Jews, even though that's one of their prophets that tells that story, they still believed. And even when Jesus came on the earth, even in his day, they taught that only the Jews would be the Lord's people. we know now that that's not correct. We know, according to the New Testament, there's plenty of evidences there where, well, for one of the writers, Luke, as far as we know, was not of Israel. He was supposed to be a Gentile. He wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, at least. Some say he may have wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know. We know Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He wasn't called to be the apostle to the Gentiles for no reason. It was because the Lord had plans to save the Gentiles just like he did the Jews. Acts 17:30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The command is, he says, for all men everywhere to repent. He says, verse 31 says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God's going to judge the world. And it's going to be a righteous judgment. And those who have not repented are going to suffer the consequences. The command is for all men to repent. And without repentance, there is no eternal life. There is no being in Christ. If a person, I'm sure we've all seen people we know who live in some deep sin. And we see when the Lord, if they're not saved, the Lord calls them and saves them, and they repent for that sin, and they don't go back to it, or they at least, you see their desire to get away from it. Or there may be those who are already saved who fall off into a sin, and the same thing, we see the Lord call them back, and when he does, they're eager to repent of it. It's a requirement. Back in our article, and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God. Acts 5:31. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, there's in this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, we see this is where some of the apostles are imprisoned. Peter, being one of them, it says in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to him, to them that obey him. So our obedience to the Lord when we're saved, our first obedience is repentance. It's our first work, if you will, for and if you see a person, and I think there are many false professions out there, you've probably seen them here, but I don't know. I've seen them in places I've been, and you see a person who says they've been saved, but you see no repentance. You see no leaving of the sin that they were in, and no sorrow for it. So you have to wonder, were they really saved or not? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. We know the people in Corinth. Some he talks about Paul. He talks about Apollos. There are other ministers. They were trying to follow after men. And he says, even as the Lord gave to every man. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This is Paul speaking. Paul planted. He went to places, preached the gospel. Apollos came behind him in some of those places. And Apollos either spread the gospel again or was there to teach those that had already received the gospel. It wasn't by these two men or by the other ministers. It was by God. God is the one who gave the increase. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, let's start. This is in the middle of the sentence. Let's go back and up to verse 21, and we'll start there. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we see in verse 25, if God peradventure will give them repentance. The repentance, the desire for repentance, we know comes from God also. But the repentance itself, the forgiveness, if you will, of our sins comes from God, and only from God. It is He who does, through His Spirit, through His Holy Spirit, who does the regenerating of our soul. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And these are some very popular verses with Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember, our salvation is not of our works. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Until he comes to us, until he awakens, until he verse our soul, if you will, as we talked about last time. And it's through His grace. His grace is by His grace that we're saved. And it's through the faith that He gives us. Not of our own faith. We have no faith at that point, remember. It's by His faith. Or by the faith that He gives us. And it's not of yourselves, He says. It is a gift. It is the gift of God. That gift only comes from God. It can come from nowhere else. And it cannot even come from ourselves. I read a missionary's letter he sent me. And he had testimonies of him and his wife on there. They both had written their testimonies on there of their salvation. And both mentioned how they prayed to receive Christ. And this is coming from someone who's claiming to be Sovereign Grace. And when I read it, I thought, well, that's not what I was taught. And there's nowhere in the Scripture that tells us that we're to pray to receive Christ. It's only after we received Him that we can pray. We can't. He doesn't hear our prayers before that. We're dead to Him. In our article, it says, whereby being deeply convicted of our guilt, danger, helplessness, and way of salvation through Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition and acknowledgement of sin, at the same time receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our only and all-sufficient Savior and submitting to Him as our Lord. John 20 and 28. John 20, 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Once we've been saved, we can say these words. Before that, He is not. He is our Lord and our God. Of course, He's the Lord and God of everyone. But we do not have that intimate relationship with Him whereby we can call Him these things, these names. This is talking about Thomas, the story of Thomas who doubted when Christ came and showed Himself. If you go back to verse 24, it says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto Him, We have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, Except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas knew when he saw the Lord. We know without seeing Him. We don't physically see the Lord today. They physically saw Him. They had been with Him during His earthly ministry, through most of it. Thomas was doubting. It was a very difficult time. The Lord had died on the cross. He had been buried in a tomb. He had rose again, of course, but Thomas was having doubts of this. And it's For man, that's natural. Even for a saved man, it would be natural in that situation. But the Lord came to him and personally and showed him. Now, like I said, we today, we don't have that option. We don't. He doesn't come to us in the same way. He comes to us through His Holy Spirit now. And we see by faith. That's the end of Article 17. And I think we'll stop there for tonight. I think it's going to go quite a bit more to go into the next one. We will be able to, looks like there are some more that we'll be able to double up on in the future. And we'll cover more than one coming up in the next few weeks. So we'll end there tonight.